You're listening to Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Well, the new year is almost upon us, and in Boston, New Year's is synonymous with one big, giant, whopping event, and that is First Night. They are in their 37th year doing First Night here all over the city of Boston, and we've got one of the organizers of First Night with us right now to preview some of the insanity, spectacle, music, dance, movement, all kinds of good stuff happening. Joyce Lenihan, thanks for being with us here on Boston Public Radio.
Thanks for having me.
So, 37th edition of First Night. For somebody who maybe hasn't gone down or isn't sort of aware of exactly what it is, give us, as best you can, the broad overview of what First Night's all about.
Sure. There's really something for everyone. It's an all-day, day-long arts festival. It's the oldest and first in the country, and it's got everything. There's music, there's dance, there's theater, there's ice sculptures, there's fireworks. There are a lot of outdoor events. There are a lot of indoor events. There are all kinds of – there's the grand procession down Boylston Street, which kind of marks the movement from daytime into nighttime, which is great. It involves a lot of community groups, a lot of kids from the neighborhoods who've made puppets over the past couple of months, and they're bringing them out to First Night. It's really got something for everybody.
What time does the does that big parade down Boylston happen?
That starts at 5:30. It's kicked off from in front of the Heinz Convention Center, and it moves all the way down Boylston Street and makes a left on Charles and ends at Charles and Beacon.
Is that pretty well attended?
Very well attended. Yeah, I've seen crowds, you know, 15 deep there along Boylston Street,
wow,
which is fun.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, when people talk about First Night, when I first moved here a few years ago, they talk about the parade and then they talk about the ice sculptures. This is like the thing that is a standout for a lot of people. Has the ice sculpture thing been a part of it from the very start? How did they kind of come together?
It has. There were ice sculptures at the very first night. It's an interesting art form. You think about it. You know, these people spend all this time making this thing that's inevitably going to either melt or be knocked down. But they're really beautiful, beautiful creations. And we're going to have three of them this year, two of them in Copley Square and one up by the Prudential. And you'll be able to see work ongoing through this week up until New Year's Eve, and then they're lit beautifully on New Year's Eve.
How big are they? What are they of?
Tons. this year, Donald Chappell, who's one of the favorite ice sculptors, is going to be doing something called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and it has something to do with the Barrier Reef. I have not made the connection yet, but I often think that about his sculptures when I see the descriptions, and then when you finally see them, you say, oh, that's what he was talking about.
So, it's clear as ice.
Exactly. Exactly. Eric Fontecchio is going to be working on Copley Square, and he's going to be doing a couple of different sculptures. One very conceptual thing that has something to do with bringing the country back together after the partisan year that we've had.
Wow.
So I have no idea what that's going to look like, but that's what he's got in mind. And then he's also doing something a little more traditional with Jack and the Beanstalk.
See, it's interesting, even just when you, even when you're just scratching the surface here, talking about the ice sculptures themselves. I mean, you said arts festival early, and it's, you know, while it's family friendly and it's fun and there's something for everyone, there's a little bit of seriousness to it. I mean, even here you're talking about very serious themes that are like that real artists taking on real things, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's art, so that, there's that. But I mean, I think in some ways New Year's Eve is a time to have fun, but it's also a time for reflection, and it can be a very serious time. And, you know, in the 37 years that we've been doing this, there have been some years that have been that have had more heft than others, you know, and I think that this year is going to be particularly moving because it has been a kind of difficult year, and you know, I think people are ready to celebrate.
Do you think that? Do you find that? Have you made a correlation between hefty years, as you call them, and then well attended first nights because people are just ready to let loose and sort of say, let's get this year over with and celebrate a new one? Do you expect the attendance to be high because it was a hefty year?
Well, I mean, just as an example, in 2001, which was obviously a very difficult year for us, we didn't know what to expect. We really didn't. We were, you know, what, 3 months removed from that incident. And it was like, you know, people just came out almost, you know, I don't want to say defiantly, but just, you know, they just came out to celebrate. They wanted to celebrate. They wanted to be together. They wanted to greet the new year together. And it was really kind of moving, even for an old cynic like me.
I'm talking with Joyce Lenihan. She's one of the organizers of Boston's First Night. And we're talking about First Night, previewing some of the stuff that's going to be going on. So it's an all-day affair, and it kind of happens all over the city. So music is a big centerpiece. We're going to talk about some music and listen to some music in just a second. But I want to talk about some of the other stuff that's happening. There's film stuff, if people want to go see films.
Yep. We do a highlight from the Roxbury Film Festival, which is a great festival. It happens during the summer. They reprise some of the favorite things that they showed earlier in the year. We've been for, I think, maybe 10 years now doing a selection of shorts from New England anime, which is very, very popular. We've got some cartoon shorts for kids. We've got all kinds of things like that.
Where do you find, I mean, how do you hook up with all of these groups and how do you find them all? Is it just because you've been doing it for 37 years and you build up relationships over time? Are you looking for them? Are they coming to you and saying, hey, we want to be a part of this?
It's such a big festival that it's really a mix of all of those things. And there's some things that kind of repeat from year to year, and then there are things that are new. There are things that we, you know, go after with a very particular thing in mind. So it really it runs the gamut. We do a call to artists, which usually goes out in March, and we accept some proposals, and then some of those go on to be first night projects.
So we talked film, ice sculpting. There's sort of comedy theater stuff. Any standouts for you, highlights, things you're looking forward to, things that are new or old favorites?
Well, Commonwealth Shakespeare performs with us almost every year, and they've got a new show this year, Something About Winter. So I'm sure
Perfect.
that will be great.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sounds like it's
very fitting.
Thematically
very
there.
Fitting.
Yep.
Really bad if it was a July 4th show, right?
Yeah.
And we've got Tony V, who's with us almost every New Year's Eve, and he is a very, very funny man.
So. Yeah. All right. So that's pretty good. So let's get into the music thing, because that's really, I mean, that's the heart and soul of First Night, I think, in a lot of ways. It's your heart and soul in a lot of ways
sure.
as well. A lot of stuff in a lot of genres. You have a bunch of classical things that happen. You have some jazz things that happen. And then you kind of have like a sort of rock, jazz, R&B. That's kind of the big thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's some of these bigger venues. So I thought maybe we could talk through some
sure.
of the
yeah.
bigger things that are happening.
Yeah.
And I know that you brought some music along so
I
that
did.
We can listen to some favorites. So why don't you talk us through some of these big highlights?
Well, it's been great. For the past few years, we've had this partnership with Boston Symphony Hall, where we use Symphony Hall for First Night. And that's a relatively new thing. And this year, we're really excited that Magnetic Fields are playing at Symphony Hall.
So if somebody – I'm a Magnetic Fields fan. They've been around for a very long time,
very
but
long
maybe
time.
A little bit under the radar in certain circles. Tell us a little bit about who this band is.
Well, I mean, their seminal work is 69 Love Songs, which
yeah.
I know you're very familiar with. But they did get their start here in Boston, and Claudia Gonson, who's been with the band since the beginning, is from Boston. And Stephen Merritt is it's really his vehicle.
Yeah.
He used to be the doorman at Ground Zero in Central Square, but now he's a rock star playing at Symphony Hall. And I'm really excited about that show. I really hope I get to see that
so,
one.
So let's listen to a little bit of Magnetic Fields. This is an older song. I picked this one out because this is a personal favorite of mine. This is from one of their albums called Get Lost. This is All the Umbrellas in London. Let's listen to a little. So these are guys who, have a very kind of unique sound when you hear them on record. The instruments they're using, you can't really pick out all the time. It's often a ukulele. There's some synthesizers. How are they live? How does this sound translate live?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of they're really, really good live. I mean, it's
yeah.
very, very engaging. And I think in that particular space, which is not a space that we often get to see a band like Magnetic Fields in, it's going to be particularly great because the acoustics in there are so great. So it's not going to be your usual, rock mishmash. They're going to have a full band with them. They'll have a cellist, a guitarist, a percussionist, and Shirley Sims is going to be singing with them. So I think it's going to be really great.
Very cool. So that's the Symphony Hall. That's the Magnetic Fields. What time does that show get going?
That show is at 9 o'clock.
All right, 9 o'clock. What else you got?
We've got at the other stunningly beautiful hall up in the Fenway area, New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall, we've got Lee Fields, which is really, we're really, really lucky to have him. And talk about a legend. I mean, his first record came out in 1969, and
yeah.
he's still out there. He's really got quite a story. And you want to talk about under the radar, I think that he's certainly
Absolutely.
Been there. But he's just, I can't imagine him putting on anything other than a stunning show.
So he's with a group that called The Expressions,
That's
Lee Field
right.
and The Expressions. This guy's toured with Kool and the Gang.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has toured with Sammy Gordon and the Hip Huggers. Old school, like real old school soul. Let's listen to a little bit of Lee Field and The Expressions. This is from his latest record. So what you're hearing here was not recorded in 1966. This was recorded in 2012. Let's hear a little. I've always been a faithful man. can see our engineer, Alan Mattis, behind the board through the glass here, grooving. You can't stop him from moving to this song. This is great. And for good measure, before Lee Field and the Expressions, we got a local group also kind of in that soul vein, but in a very different way, playing. That's Jenny D and the Delinquents. Talk a little bit about
this.
They're
great. Band. They've played First Night the last few years, and they're really, really great. I mean, to coin a phrase from Pitchfork, as they're talking about Lee Field's throwback done right, which I think Jenny D does as well.
Let's hear a little. Certainly hear a little bit of a Supremes influence there, no question about it. All those girl groups from the 60s. It sounds like if you are a fan of Motown, and I don't know anybody who likes music that is not a fan of Motown, but if you are, it sounds like New England Conservatory is going to be the place to be on First Night.
Just pitch a tent there, yes, there you absolutely.
Perfect. I'm talking with Joyce Linehan. She's one of the organizers of First Night. We're previewing some of the stuff that's happening at First Night. So we've heard some indie rock. We've got some sort of soul and neo soul. What else you got happening?
We got some jazz.
A bit of jazz.
Yeah,
huh?
We have John Scofield's Uber Jam at the Berklee Performance
Center.
This
is Uber with an umlaut, we should say. So it's the
Uber
Jam.
You can't see the umlaut on radio, right? We're really excited about this. This is, we've had a long-standing partnership with Berklee, and apparently it's going to be broadcast on some radio station.
There is a radio station. I believe it's 89.7 on the dial. That's Boston Public Radio. Yeah, this is something we've been doing for a few years. This is a big partnership. Berklee's involved. First Night's involved. Mm-hmm. GBH is involved. NPR is involved. This is part of their tradition on New Year's, which is to do a big concert where they're following a concert sort of coast to coast, and this is usually one of the first concerts we hear. Let's hear a little bit, for those who don't know John Scofield. This guy is a shredding funk guitarist, jazz rock amalgam, the likes of which you don't hear anywhere else. Let's listen to a little. So it's going to be a funky time at the Berklee Performance Center, huh?
Absolutely. And if you want to be on national radio on Toast to the Nation, you want to be sitting in that audience.
Absolutely. So, what time does that concert go off?
That is you have to be in your seat at 8:45 for a 9 o'clock broadcast.
I believe that's correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. And like you said, the bonus there is part of a national broadcast here on 89.7, so you can get involved in that if you want. So that's good. So we've got what else do you have happening kind of in these bigger venues in this or sort of in this pop rock vein?
The biggest venue of all, Heinz Auditorium. We have my neighbors from Dorchester, Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys.
Just say that name again.
Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys.
The Army of Broken Toys. This is a group who, to my ear anyway, if you have a name like Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys, you better bring some drama to the table.
Yeah, they're a little bit theatrical.
And they do that just a little bit. Let's listen to a little bit of the music so you can get a sense of it. And then I want to talk a little bit about this band and what this show is going to be, because I have a sense that there's a little bit of a spectacle involved in it. Let's hear some music here. This is Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys. This is a tune called Hole in the Boat from their 2010 album, Steamship Killers. So I got to read this quote. This band has been described as, and this is one of the best quotes I've ever read, I think, anywhere: musically sophisticated and immensely talented, wildly unusual and diverse in material and presentation, a Dada-esque circus carnival run amok, and just plain good, not always so clean fun. Does that sum it up?
That sounds about right. And, you know, they're also, it says here on my notes, they're also promising time-traveling wonderment. Although if that doesn't...
Time-traveling wonderment.
Yeah, if there is no time travel, though, no money-back guarantee on that.
There's
one.
No money-back guarantee on that.
Sorry.
But I think if there's any band that can pull off time travel, I believe
absolutely.
It might be these
guys. I have a lot of faith in them,
so
yes.
They're your neighbors. I assume you've seen them perform live before. What's a live show like with them?
It's definitely a show. I mean, they did their first theater piece over the summer, which was really interesting. You know, so music and theater mixed. And I mean, not that every performance that they do isn't like that. But they're really, really, really great. Very, very entertaining. And it's good to see them at first night because it's not their usual audience. And they draw some of their people, but they're in an auditorium that holds about 3,000 people. And there are a lot of people who are discovering Walter Sickert for the first time. So that's interesting to watch.
Did they came together right here in Boston? Are they Boston folks? Or are they from all over the place?
No, they're from other parts of the country. I'm actually not sure how long they've been in Boston, but I know where they live now.
That's pretty good. I'm talking with Joyce Lenahan, neighbor of the Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys.
It's my claim to fame.
And also one of the organizers of First Night. You kind of hinted at this not being their usual audience. Who is the audience for First Night? I mean, you said it's kind of got something for everybody. I've been kind of down amidst the madness a few times. There seems to be a little bit of everyone. Have you been sort of having the same audience year after year? Have you seen it changing? Is it trending? Who comes to First Night?
It really is all over the place. I always kind of laugh when somebody asks us about our demographics because it really is very, very broad. I mean, we're seeing now a lot of people who came to the early First Nights and are now coming back with their children or even their grandchildren. Mm. So we'll find multi-generations of families, or we'll find, all kinds of people, really, because there really is, in the entertainment listing, there really is something for everybody.
So. Yeah, a lot of classical, a lot of jazz, a lot of stuff that, it's literally there's literally like 1,000 artists involved. There's so much happening. Talk a little bit about the logistics of how this works. Again, especially for somebody who hasn't gone before, it's a unique way. Everything outdoor is free, right? Yep. Everything indoor costs, but all you need to get is a button.
A button, that's right. The button gets you into any indoor event. It also helps to support all the free outdoor activities, which is important to think about. But it's really an affordable day of arts, but it's really important because it can be a little bit overwhelming. It's really important that you take a look at the schedule ahead of time. We have an interactive planner on the website, which is firstnight.org, where people can just plan their day. Sometimes things do get filled up, so you kind of want to have a plan B. There are, for some of the bigger shows that we've talked about, like Magnetic Fields and John Schofield and Lee Fields, no relation to any of those fields.
Yeah, wow.
there are some reserved seating.
Wow, a lot
options.
Of fields going on. Fields. And then somebody doing time travel, which is kind of
exactly.
like also sort of like a time-space field.
Our theme for this year is fields. So there are some reserved seating available for those shows. So you want to look at the website and take a look at that. But, it's a very democratic event in that, a button gets you into everything.
How much does a button cost? Where do you get them?
If you get them online, they are $15. And if you get them...
Wow, and all of this, you can get into all of this for $15.
Yes, and they're $18 the day of the performance. On December 31st and also the couple of days before at a bunch of different retailers.
What about, crowds? Is there times of the day that are busier than others? Do you have some tips for people who are coming from the suburbs or even from further away or, frankly, even from some other neighborhood in the city, how to negotiate all of that?
Yeah, it's really a good idea not to drive. It's a very good idea to take public transportation, which, although we haven't gotten the official word, is usually free after 8 o'clock.
Fingers crossed.
New Year's
Eve. And if Richard Davey Jonathan Davis, if you're listening, you can do it for us, guys. Come on.
So that's very handy. But Boston is a very walkable city, and this is this takes place from the waterfront to the Fenway, which is really not that large an area if you think about it. So it's easy to maneuver. Dress in layers so that, you can move in and out of buildings without being uncomfortable. Wear comfortable shoes. There's a lot of logistics on our website and in the program guide that you get when you buy a button that will give you some hints about how best to deal with First Night.
All right. You going to be there?
I'm absolutely going
to
be there.
Do you get to watch anything?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Boston's First Night. You know the date. December 31st, the 37th edition of this, the country's oldest and largest New Year's Eve arts festival. We're going to go out here, Joyce, on a song from another artist who's playing. This is Cass McCombs, kind of another kind of indie rock style person from the great city of Baltimore.
That's right.
Joyce, thanks for taking the time to be with us and preview
Thank you.
First Night for
Happy
us here
New
on
Year.
Boston Public Radio. Happy New Year to you, too.